You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. And it starts right now.
Hello and welcome to The Kylo Show. We are live. We are live.
We are alive.
Alive with liveness. Alive with liveness.
It's pretty lively.
And we're having lots of fun with our studio audience here. They are with us and coming with great questions. We've loved it so far. Just excited for being able to do this live. It's definitely part of our heart is to be as closely connected to our audience as possible. And it's fun when we do it this way. This is new because
you get to ask a question
and
get an answer
and know that we're on the right track.
And go home. I mean, you just get to go home from there. You don't have to wait around and hope to catch the episode that we answered your question on.
This one.
You know, this is much improved. Much improved.
So we're having a good time. So we're going to jump in with our first question that we have is from Jaslyn. You're up first.
Hi, guys. I'm really excited to be on here and talking to you guys in person. My husband and I found you guys the beginning of last year in January. And we've been able to read your parenting books and relationship books. And it's been a huge help in a lot of areas. My main question, well, I have lots, but my main one for today is, you can have one more. Sorry,
kids. Real life.
I have a 3-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 1-year-old, and another one on the way.
Oof.
Yes.
All right.
It's very fun. It keeps me very, very busy, and I love it, and I'm very thankful for it. But no parenting books have 3-year-olds, 2-year-olds, and 1-year-olds anywhere. And so just kind of like, they're very like the sibling rivalry thing. And taking things from each other, they're like, that's already happening because they're siblings. But like, besides the funner room, which we definitely use all the time, although their room is all the way upstairs and they all share one room. So if one's taking a nap, then it's like, okay, where do I put you? But just kind of like any tips on the toddler years, because you know, y'all are saying like the toddler trenches. I'm like, yep, that's where we're at.
It's true.
For sure.
I do call the toddler trenches because it feels that. I mean, you're in the thick of it and it's hard to have vision or feel like you can breathe at moments, you know, and like you said, you're filling out your trenches well. So that's awesome and full of activity. I think the biggest thing I would encourage you in as a mom with very busy kids and they're all in that space where I want. Now, okay, I'll fight you for it because I have no self-control. And so you are the governor of all of that. That's the reality that you're in. And so as many moments that you can pick and choose as for what battle you're going to chase after because you've got yourself outnumbered, I would lean into that. And you're building culture. Like that's the overall mindset I think I would encourage you is you're building culture. And as the next one gets older and older, and you practice this, it's amazing actually how your culture that you're fighting for shows up in the older one, and it starts to have a effect down the line, and it will get easier. The big thing is that it sounds like you're doing the tools I'd be doing, which is funner room, finding somewhere else other than because they all share a room. Okay, so it's funner bathroom, funner bathtub, or kitchen chair. You know, it is
the steps.
Exactly, finding a space that works for us and knowing, you know, what battle I'm going to face today and knowing your capacity. Cause some days you wake up and you're like, you know what? I don't have the capacity to do this all day long. So my goal in today is to stay connected as best as I can in the process of this. And consider that your win rather than you caught every single no fun moment and you corrected it. Cause I think that's the other place where we start to doubt ourselves or even feel like we failed in something is I didn't actually have the capacity for it today. And so I spent most of the day being frustrated at myself and beating myself up cause I didn't do it rather than, okay, what's the goal that I'm going to achieve today? Measurable steps. That's the season you're in. Measurable steps and make sure you have a measuring stick that is accurate to the season that you're in. You don't want my measuring stick with a 12 and a 14-year-old at home. You don't want that one because you'll feel like you're defeated. But if you have the right measuring sticks for the season you're in, I think you get to walk away a little bit more feeling empowered, like you were actually successful, which gives you hope for tomorrow. Yeah. And building that culture.
Yeah. And the other thing is, like, wondering when you guys implemented or just started talking about it often, like the family culture, and just talk, like, we talked to our 3-year-old a lot. I mean, the 3 and 2-year-old seem like the same age because the 2-year-old just, you know, fly right up to their stage. And so they really understand a lot. So it's kind of just like, okay, what are the next steps, like, after the, not just necessarily in discipline, but like building that family culture and just being able to like implement that in a really healthy way, because nobody wants to sit down and read the Bible together yet.
Totally. You know, but they probably would love to act out David and Goliath.
Yes, yes.
So, sure. So you just have to get creative. Is how do we make the Bible and our relationship with God something that fits for a toddler? Because if I try and make it something that fits for an adult to a toddler size, it's never going to work. So I remember Lincoln, I have a photo of him actually, and he probably was 3 or 4, and he's in his underwear and he's got the dog trash can. Like, we had the dog foods in this like trash can thing as a shield. And Ben is pretending like he's Goliath and he's David, and he had to put on all the armor. It didn't really fit him, but he's in his underwear. And so that's how we made this story come alive. I think that you're talking about culture by practicing it. Hey, you're a Smith. You're Johnny Smith. Does Johnny Smith hit? Is that what we do? Or do we love people? We love people. Okay, how do we love people? And that's how you talk about it at this stage. When they get older, they can contribute in different ways. But I, again, make sure you've got the right measuring stick, because otherwise it's hard. It's just, you feel like a failure.
Yeah. Well, thank you, guys. I have another question, but I'll let somebody else go first.
Well, you're the only one with your hand up.
So go for it, girl.
Okay. Go ahead.
Steal the time.
I also have my mom, who a single mom growing up for the most part, minus like 2 marriages that she had. That one, the third one, is just now ending after 7 years of separation. Really awful. Just abuse and such. But she lives right across the field from me, and like, we all live in the country. We're not on the same property, but she lives like in an RV park, and she's not like a toxic person necessarily to my kids, but she's very manipulative and very hard to be around. And I really am trying to keep my connection open with her, but she's done a lot of damage since we were 15. Like, my husband and I met when we were 15, got married when we were 18, and we're only 22, and our fourth baby is almost here. And so we've just been kind of going really fast. But the Lord has just put his, you know, grace over all of that. And so I just, like, with them and their relationship with her, I just, like, I have nobody who's able to say, like, what should boundaries look like with that person? And even though, like, no matter how many people I talk to, I'm really trying to get godly counsel in that area specifically, so that I can, like, I want a connection with her, but I'm not sure where, like, what level I should allow my children to be in with her. If that, I know that's kind of doesn't give a lot of context, but.
Well, I mean, it sounds like you're wanting to protect your kids from some of the things that you experience. And for the most part, it'll be quite a while before they experience that. You know, they're not hypersensitive to a bunch of things that you are carrying around in your relationship with your mom. So just pay attention to that. So working things out with your mom between you and her is different than protecting your children from your mom. So I would, you know, be sure to you know, practice some of the healthy stuff that you've learned that you're using in your marriage. You practice some of that on your mom by letting her know that, hey, mom, when you say it like that, or when you surprise me like this, or when you change the plan like that, I feel manipulated and I don't like that feeling. I need to believe that you're telling me what you mean and that you mean what you say. That helps me trust you, and that helps our relationship. However you end up saying stuff like that, you begin to work it out with your mom so that she knows what you need, and she understands why you're acting the way you're acting. Because if she doesn't have good information, then the way you're acting is a mystery. Are you mad? Are you punishing me? Hey, buddy. Are you, why are you acting like this? And so you want to take all the mind reading out of a relationship that you possibly can by telling your mom about you, not about her. Like, since I was a little kid, you've been doing this thing, and here you go again. You're doing it some more. You want us to keep all that out of there and say, mom, when you do that thing right there, it scares me. Mm-hmm. I feel powerless when you act like that in our relationship. However you learn to say, ouch, yikes, whoa, ugh, and yay, however you learn to say that in your relationship with your mom, practice with her giving her good information, and then let her know what you need to feel going forward. Like, mom, I need to feel respected. I'm a woman with nearly 4 children around my feet. I need to feel respected as a woman by another woman. You know, whatever it is that you need to feel going forward, but be real clear about that so that your mom has really good information to make decisions on. And then if she makes bad decisions, here come the boundaries.
Yeah, that's where like the boundaries get very, very unclear to me, because it's really hard to separate her and her manipulative tactics from who she is in the Lord. Like, they're so intertwined. It seems like she's played Holy Spirit role for a really long time, and it's kind of like twisted in my brain. So sometimes I don't even know where to set this boundary without like killing you. Like, that's what it feels like to her, because we have tried to set boundaries before in very, very loving ways. And she brings out the Bible and, you know, you've done, I can't believe your husband did this to me when it was totally not. Like, he just, during my last postpartum, he had just said, hey, before you come, I need you to call or text so that I know when you're coming and make sure that you're in a good headspace before you come over to see my wife. But like, per loving on purpose boundaries, like, it was very much like we prayed about it. And so like, and you don't have to answer all these right now, but just like the context of, it just gets really difficult when they're so mixed together, because that she doesn't respond like respectfully in any of those ways. And then I feel like the only thing left is like completely cut off connection with her. And it just feels like that's not where I should be going, but I can't control her responses. So,
Well, she needs to understand what, when your husband communicates with her, he says, I need to feel protected. And she'll say, protected from what? From whatever you're bringing that is so scary to my wife. So that's him protecting you by setting the stage with your mom and say, you know, I want a connection with you. I want to enjoy our relationship, but I need to feel protected. And she'll say, well, what do you mean protected? Protect from that thing that is hurting my wife. And she'll say, well, what's that? That thing that she told you about? What? When I utilize scripture to manipulate the whole environment. Yeah, that right there. I need to feel protected from that. So I can't give you godly counsel. Maybe you can, maybe you can't. We'll see. But what you for sure can't do is play God in my home.
The one thing she says all the time for everything is, I'm your mom, Jaslyn. She says that all the time after everything. So that's like, and I just know there's so many of these things that are not, like, I know a lot of this is manipulative, but it's so hard to call it when I see it change.
Yep, mom, and say that. Say, I want you to be my mom. I have a king and a leader, but I do need you to be my mom. Jesus is my king. My husband is my leader, and you are my mom.
Yep.
And let her maybe ask, if she has some more questions in there, she can ask some more questions in there, but. You have worked out order in your life. You don't need dysfunction or division. And that's what she doesn't quite understand yet, is that when she comes in and defines mom as boss, she doesn't understand that she's creating division in your home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right.
Yep. It's great. Good questions. All right. Our next question is from Patty.
Hello.
Hello.
I've been waiting. But my question, it's not a question. I have three things that I wanted to share. One is very grateful that families have always been a love in my life. They've always been something that has captured my heart. So I'm very grateful to have been able to partner or to be able to come across the teachings that you both give. And I really appreciate everything that I've learned. From the podcast to the courses on the Life Academy to Kylo University that I just concluded at the end of December. And so one of the intentions that I had on joining Kylo University was, and this was the vision that I had, was to restore my family legacy, which was a little crooked, or I mean, we all have some parts that are crooked, but for me, that was just heavy on my heart that I needed to do whatever it was in my hands to be able to restore this. And one of the things that I've shared in the past is that I had a little bit of distantiating with my daughter, with my 28-year-old daughter, when she for a few months. And I can say now that the techniques and the vision and the words and the questions and everything that I've learned have really helped to restore this relationship. It has been, we've been able to have hard conversations without drama. It's been hard. And to be able to, earlier on, Wendy said she's modeling Kylo and managing herself well. I think I can say that too, that, you know, starting with managing myself, asking myself the questions, what am I experiencing now? What did you hear me say when I see some reactions? We were in the past a very dramatic family. I come from Mexico and we're very expressive, loud, you know, and I can say that at some point we can be very dramatic, but we're very sensitive and we are very passionate and we express our feelings very intensely. So that is who we were, but we didn't know how to do it in a healthy way. So we've been learning to do it now in a healthier way. And I'm very grateful for that, because one of the things that fills my heart so much is to be able to share with them, with my daughter, my granddaughter, who is 7 months old. It's a true blessing. So that's one thing I wanted to share, that we've navigated some difficult times, but we're hanging there, and we're really doing it successfully. I can say I feel happy to say that we're doing it successfully. Not that we've gotten there, but we still have many things that we will do. But I was very grateful that when I'm looking into the application of Kylo University now, and I'm saying, how am I going to apply it? I heard that Lisa Nichols say something that when she learns something, she applies it, and she learns and applies it. And I said, I'm going to implement that for myself. So I finished Kylo University. Now I want to apply it. And one of the thoughts that my daughter suggested, she said, why don't you apply it in teaching grandparents how to restore relationships so that they can have access to their grandkids? And I thought, wow. And I said, really? Do I even have the tools? And she says, well, you did it. And I thought, wow, did I really? So it's just been something wonderful to even think about that I can even provide some knowledge or some way within the Kylo way of unpunishable and so many other things to other grandparents that are distant from their grandkids and even from their daughters or sons. I'm not sure how much more, and I would definitely need more help and leadership for this, but it just got me very excited to think that she would even suggest that.
Yeah. And this is the beautiful testimony, is that people aren't coming across as the teacher to everyone else as much as they're transforming themselves by controlling themselves. And people are saying, come closer, come closer. That thing that you're doing, I want that close to me. And that's the testimony. That's the healed relationships. That's the power of love, is that when you really experience it, you want it closer to you. Mm-hmm. And congratulations, Patty. That's a beautiful testimony. Thank you so much.
Oh,
I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful.
Thank you for doing the work, Patty. We so appreciate it. And you showing up and finding some whole healthy families. That's what we're doing.
For sure. Whole healthy generations.
Exactly. And the last thing that I want to share with you very quickly is I am a musician. I've been a musician since I was 12, playing the guitar and singing. And I've started putting one of my projects is to put lyrics to some music from my beautiful friend Oscar Lopez in Calgary, who is has beautiful guitar music. And I've added some lyrics to some of his music, and some of the lyrics, like for example, the song Waiting for You, is something that talks about waiting for that beautiful covenant relationship that you guys have referred to, you know, and just having that vision of a relationship that is different and incorporating into a song. Or a song, the lyrics of a song that I wrote for my granddaughter called Guitars from Heaven, where it says that guitars from heaven are coming to sing and to say how loved she is. So I just, you are having influence in the different aspects of my life. It's just something that it opens up so much. And it's just beautiful.
Awesome. Well, way to do the work again. Yep. Way to show up and keep your love on.
Yep.
Ta-da. Okay. Thank you very much.
Yes. Thank you, Patty.
You're welcome.
All right. Dave, you got a question for us?
I do. Yeah. Look, this is more of a hypothetical nature. So I've been listening, obviously, to you guys for a while. And when you're talking about addressing the bad guy, in a situation. So I'm literally looking at my notes right now that I've taken. So a conversation, you know, when you're experiencing the bad guy, you might say, you sound worried, you sound angry, you sound tired. You know, I'm not sure what you need, but I'm not having fun. When you do fill in the blank. I feel, fill in the blank. Now, the part that I'm less practiced in is the part where, so you say, look, I need to feel loved, heard, you know, your strength, etc. And I'm prepared to or look forward to such and such when I see you, such and such. Now, again, I don't have a specific example in mind, but I'm just trying to think of, okay, if say like in a, let's say a marriage example, for example, let's say you're waiting for the bad guy to tell you what they're going to do about the feedback you've just given them. You're waiting. There's still no movement. You know, you're holding out good expectations. You're believing certain things about them, but it's just really slow moving.
Don't you hate that?
Yeah.
I do. So taking on board what you said in the previous episode about staying curious rather than critical and that kind of thing. Now, I really am using, there's no specific situation here. This is purely, I was just listening to other people talk and I'm like, huh, okay, if you're, you know, you say, okay, I need you to be this or I need to feel this. And, you know, you might give them that feedback and that they might still look at you like you're speaking to them for, like in another language. Let's say that's in marriage, for instance, what say are some appropriate boundaries? I know it's sort of more context specific maybe, but yeah, I it's just hard for me to fill in the blank on that bit, what I'd be prepared to do or, you know, or what I'm going to, I don't know if this is the right way to say it, but withhold while I'm waiting for you to come to the table.
Well, one thing, you know, in that scenario, this is hypothetical, right? So yeah. let's say that whatever they did, there was a disconnect. Mm. So you want to be sure to communicate that and say something like, I feel disconnected mm-hmm. over that comment, over that the decision that you made, or that thing you did scared me, and now I feel disconnected. I need to feel connected, and I need I need some kind of an adjustment to help me understand that you heard me. And so now, you know, there that's laying out there. The disconnect explains why I'm acting this way. I feel disconnected. This is what I look like disconnected. This is what I there is an angst, there's an anxiety, there's no punishment. I didn't turn my love off, but I feel disconnected. And I want to feel connected. And so that's what you've set it up for. Now, what do they do in response? You know, what's the fix to that? Well, it might be quick. It might not be quick.
Right.
I caught you on a porn site. Masturbating is not a quick fix. That's not a, oh, I'm sorry, we're going to clean that up. That is now a series of back and forth communication, working out what's going on, what in the world led to that, and what to do about it. And do I believe you? You know, so, you forgot the tomatoes and I asked you twice. It could be a quick fix. And, I'm sorry that felt disrespectful. I messed that up. I wasn't paying attention. I won't let that happen again. that, you know, there you go. That's about all I can do to clean up that mess. And here's your cup of coffee, and just the way you like it, you know. And if you'd like, I'll rub your feet, you know, whatever. But you know, there's a that could be a quick reconnect just with some I love yous. So it really depends on what's sitting out there to be addressed and what the adjustment looks like. Does that make sense?
The only thing I would add and maybe help clarify, and as you're talking, I was thinking about this, is with the sometimes it's a quick fix and sometimes it's not a quick fix, is sometimes that process is, it could be a quicker fix, but this person doesn't have a problem yet that they want to work on. And so you're like, it's literally just boop, boop, done. But they're not willing to see it as that problem. And so that's the hard.
Like they didn't listen to me.
They didn't hear you. They weren't listening. And again, it could be a pretty quick fix, but I still don't have a problem. So until they see and have a problem that they want to fix, you're kind of in this, what am I going to do with me land? And again, whether you see it as could be a really quick fix, it could be really simple, buddy. Like, hey, yeah. Okay. But you don't decide to see it as a problem that you're really ready to fix. And then I have some more severe situations that I'm walking through, and it is a big problem. And the bummer part is that the timeline is, say this person now goes, oh, it's a problem, I want it to be a quick fix, but it's a slow timeline to fixing the problem. Like, that's the other part, is that sometimes the bad guy, if you will, decides, oh, this is my problem, I need to work on it, and they just want to expedite it.
Yeah, like I broke a rule. I know I broke a rule. I need to go to jail, but it's only for this amount of time. I'm out of jail now. You should be over this.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the hard part of, I think, even feeling powerful when you still feel scared. Yeah. But you just figured this out, and I still feel scared.
Yeah.
Even I know you just figured out you want to be done with, but I don't know that I'm.
Yeah, I forgive you and I love you and I'm scared of you. Is truth. It's a harsh truth. And it's largely due to there's no track record of anything different. And so I'm afraid that I'm going to get hurt in just a minute as soon as I'm vulnerable with you. Mm-hmm. And that's truth. I should, you know, I get to say that to you. I'm afraid to be vulnerable with you because of what happened. I need to feel protected, and I don't yet. And so, you know, there's like, oh gosh, I don't want to have to, you know, I don't want this to last. I want this to be over. I bet you do.
Yeah.
I bet you do. Just like when you didn't make your house payment for 6 months and you want your bad credit to be over. I'm sure you want it to be over. Sure. It's going to last a while, buddy. It's going to last, yeah. You know? And so it's not unforgiveness as much as it's a breakdown in the vulnerability between people. And that's why it's so precious. Vulnerability is so precious. It's the most precious thing you have in a relationship is access to each other's vulnerability. And so you want to treat it like a bag of with $1 billion in it, you know, like what kind of protection would you put around a bag with $1 billion in it? Well, you know, if you don't protect it, you're going to lose it. And you'll be, if you think $1 billion is a lot, I don't know. Maybe if it was.
All I could think about is Lord of the Rings when you're saying precious over and over again. So
precious. I guess I'm just saying that, you know, if you don't realize how special it is to be entrusted with somebody's heart, then you're pretty careless with it and reckless with it. And That's a really, that's a big part of mature love, is learning to treat someone with that much respect.
Well, Dave will be ready for his hypothetical situation.
Yeah, yeah. If it ever comes your way, Dave, you let us know how you did. Okay.
Honestly, that I feel much better prepared now. Because I mean, because in ways, you've said all the episodes and stuff I listened to, you've said that, you've basically said that before. I just never really put what you just said into that gap. So you know, you're saying, basically to keep your love on, to keep truthing, to keep giving that feedback of, you know, yeah, I love you, I forgive you, but I'm still afraid too. You know, basically what you would do earlier on in that piece of addressing the bad guy, you're basically still doing that, but being vulnerable at the same time and saying, hey, you know, again, like you say, the severity, changes to situations, but like basically you are still truthing and keeping your love on at the same time. You're still choosing to be powerful even though you feel scared.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep, for sure.
Totally.
For sure.
That's it.
All right.
Okay.
That's good.
Thanks, Dave.
Okay. Well, this was fun. Taking everybody's questions. I'm so grateful again for our live audience willing to jump in and have questions for us. I know it helps our listeners, so I'm sure they would thank you as well. And as always, we're chasing after a whole healthy families that are going to save the world. And you are part of that mission. So every like and every comment and every person we see in passing, whatever way, it does feel like we're linking arms with the army that is going after this mission.
Yeah.
And we're so grateful.
Yep. And you're our best marketing team. So just let people know, you know, where there's some good stuff, and share and like, and
yep,
tell your friends.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us on The Kyla Show. We will see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Never miss an episode of The Kyla Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Don't forget to submit your questions and testimonies to thekylashow.com. The Kyla Show is produced by Ali Armading, co-produced by Ashley Beck and Anna Hill, sound engineer and edited by Taylor Silk, and show promoter Christian Zamora. Don't forget, whole healthy families, gonna save the world.